Today is Transfiguration Sunday. The scripture lessons are from Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12, and the gospel according to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. The message is titled, Into the Cloud. Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali and the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Here ends our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 34. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. About 8 days later, Jesus said this. He took Peter, James, and John with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching and to put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination, and to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the early church. It didn't happen. Not at all. Clouds, a voice from the clouds. Moses, no way he was there, let alone Elijah. Being there speaking with Jesus, you've gone too far when you write that and speak of it. This is so far-fetched, you will say, you walked on water. Impossible, improbable. I've never heard such nonsense, and I've never seen such nor heard such silly tomfoolery. Just because what would be termed as the extraordinary perhaps has not happened to you does not mean the extraordinary does not happen at all. Perusing through the accounts of the events recorded in the books of Moses, the prophets, and the songs of the people, the improbable is recorded as actually happening. The impossible has happened. The events are the accounts, the testimonies of the experiences of the people. Think of the great explorers of the past, what they encountered and what they endeavored to do. I mean, Columbus sailing west, Magellan's quest to circumnavigate the world, the pilgrims setting out for freedom to worship, who happened to bring a printing press with them, with the seeds for planting grain and such. The great fog that came in just at the right time to allow the American Continental Army to escape certain destruction by the British Army that surrounded them and vastly outnumbered them. Providence. And that other time of crossing the Delaware to Trenton and to Princeton. George Washington, in his writings, referred to Providence 270 times, and by providence he means the God of the Bible, the God who answers prayer. When lifting up and opening the Bible, be open, be prepared to encounter the amazing, the wonderful, the fantastic, and yes, encounter the extraordinary. For the words written there, the accounts recorded, tell not only of history, but also tell of God, the God of history, who interacts and intervenes and intercedes as he reveals himself to us. Abram was called and given the promise of a land and a people as numerous as the stars above and the grains of sand below. Though childless and old, the Lord said that they, Abram and Sarai, would be a great nation, and to them a son would be born. These details are recorded in Genesis chapter 15, beginning of verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him his righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? The covenant was made. God made the covenant with himself as Abraham was put into a very deep sleep. The covenant of the promised land was given. Along with this, Genesis 15, verse 13. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Isaac would be born. To Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. To Jacob, who the Lord changed his name to Israel, would be born 12 boys and one girl. And the 70 would eventually be brought to Goshen in Egypt, while Joseph was second only to Pharaoh. Time would pass. Joseph would die. New pharaohs would come. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 beginning. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies. Fight against us and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. To the house of Levi, a boy was born. Pharaoh had ordered the Hebrew midwives to not let any boy live. So this boy was born, who was born to the house of Levi, was hidden for 3 months and then set afloat in a basket with the wind and the waves, bringing the basket to a place where Pharaoh's daughter would find the boy and raise him as her own. In Pharaoh's house, this boy was given the name Moses. Many extraordinary events mark Moses' life, which are recorded in Exodus. The animated Prince of Egypt by DreamWorks is a wonderful telling of Moses' life. And of course, there's that classic Cecil B. DeMille, The Ten Commandments, which is stellar in its cinematography. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I used to dream of going to that mountain and finding the place where those two stone tablets were cut out of the rock by the finger of God. I would watch The Ten Commandments every year when the movie would be shown on TV at Easter time. When I was in fourth grade, my mom came into the TV room and knew something was wrong with me. I was lying on the floor watching The Ten Commandments, and the TV picture was acting up. And I didn't get up to do anything about it. I just continued lying there. To the doctor! And a fractured collarbone was the diagnosis. We had been playing tackle football in the yard earlier in the day. Suddenly Elijah shows up in the history of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither dew nor rain in the next few years at my word." As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. That is all we know about Elijah. He just appears on the scene. Nothing about his family nor of his birth. He appears to challenge the evil king of the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, King Ahab, along with his wife Jezebel. During the great drought, Elijah ended up staying with the widow of Zarephath, whose handful of flour and of olive oil, that little bit of olive oil, did not run out after she, by the word of the prophet, first baked him a small loaf. While he was there, Elijah was there, her son died. Elijah cried out to the Lord and was heard. The boy's life was returned to him and he lived. Read about this in 1 Kings chapter 17 later this afternoon. 1 Kings 18, in the third year of the drought, the Lord sends Elijah to go to Ahab, for soon the Lord will send the rain on the land. To Mount Carmel, the action moves. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning of verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. And bring the 450 prophets of Baal. And the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. The prophets failed, though they called out all day. No fire for their sacrifice came. Elijah called the people to him as he repaired the altar of the Lord. 12 stones for the 12 tribes, showing the northern 10 tribes called Israel. They should still be with the 2 southern tribes of Judah as one under the Lord God. Elijah prepared the altar, prepared the sacrifice, and then said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the sacrifice, pour it on the word. Do it again. Pour it on. Do it a third time and pour the water on. And the water ran down the altar, filling the trench. Everything was entirely and utterly soaked. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning of verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire fell. The fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and licked up all the water in the trenches. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Once while Moses was tending the sheep for his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. A strange sight of a bush on fire, not burning up. As Moses came close, a voice called to him, Moses, Moses. Elijah was terrified of Jezebel's threat to do to him what he had done to all the false prophets, the prophets of Baal and Asherah. They were all killed. If tomorrow rises and you're not dead, you will be dead. Elijah, terrified, Elijah fled, running away, fearing for his life. That night under a broom bush, Elijah cries out to the Lord, I've had enough. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. An angel refreshed Elijah with bread and water. Elijah, strengthened by the food, this food, traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah entered a cave to spend the night. The Lord came to Elijah. The presence of the Lord will pass by, not in the powerful wind that tore the mountain and shattered the rocks, not in the earthquake that followed, then the fire. But the Lord was not in them. A gentle whisper came. Elijah got up, pulled his cloak all the way over his face, and stood in the mouth of the cave. The voice of the Lord spoke. Moses was sent to Pharaoh saying, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Pharaoh's heart hardened, 10 plagues with each one more intense than the previous one. The clear evidence the gods of Egypt are false gods. the Lord is God. Take the perfect lamb and sacrifice the lamb. Place the blood on the doorpost and lintel. The blood will be the sign and death will pass over. Exodus 34, another set of stone tablets are chiseled out, and the Lord will write the words that were on the first tablets that Moses broke. And then present yourself here, the Lord instructed Moses. So Exodus 34, beginning at verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generations. Mount Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. Moses met the presence of God on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah met the presence of God on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Now in the mountain, Moses and Elijah are meeting with the Son of God. Three eyewitnesses are present: Peter, James, and John. In Luke chapter 9, we have the event of the feeding of the 5,000 described by then followed by Peter declaring Jesus is the Christ of God. Immediately following at that, Jesus begins to teach about his suffering to come in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. About 8 days later from that event, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James with him up into the mountain to pray. Luke chapter 9, beginning of verse 29. As he, that's Jesus, was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. What I found very intriguing, immensely fascinating, is what they were talking about. Moses, Elijah, with Jesus. They were talking about Jesus' departure, which is about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Departure. Are you ready for this? Departure. The Greek word for departure is Exodus. Exodus. Exodus means go out. And for Israel, it meant deliverance and being set free. Does this give you shivers? Exodus as in Genesis. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his Exodus. The books of Moses, you find Exodus. In Exodus, Moses received the word of the Lord, directing all Israel to select that unblemished lamb and sacrifice the lamb. Take some of the blood and spread it on the doorpost and lintel. Moses was there when death passed over at the sight of the blood of the Lamb. And Pharaoh let go Israel to leave to the promised land to worship the Lord their God. Fulfillment at Jerusalem. In Jesus, through his suffering and death on the cross, all that has been recorded in the law and the prophets will be brought to completion. As the blood of Jesus is shed on the cross, the new covenant in his blood is put in place with the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. The sting of the law, which is death, is defeated. The wrath of God is satisfied. The justice of God is satisfied. And the mercy, compassion, and grace of God reconciles us through forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. As the Lord declared when he proclaimed his name in Exodus chapter 34, while the glory of the Lord passed by Moses. In Christ, the way is open to heaven, our promised land. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 34. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found Jesus was all alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Years later, John would write of this moment. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Years later, Peter also would write of this moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 16. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain." As happened in Exodus chapter 19 on Mount Sinai, on the Mount of Transfiguration, a dense cloud came and a voice spoke. This time the voice said, "This is my Son," according to the Gospel of Luke, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When you hear that phrase, "whom I have chosen," what comes to your mind? The image that comes to my mind is found in Exodus 12. The animal you choose must be without defect. Jesus, the sinless one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The realm beyond time was opened on that mountain, evidenced by Moses alive, though long being dead. Elijah alive, though long ago, being taken up to heaven. Jesus' earthly human body transfigured, revealing his heavenly glory, with the exclamation point of entering into the cloud with the voice of the living God saying, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So do as the Lord says. Listen to him. Receive and eat his body so you will have real life in you. Drink of the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As Jesus' death on the cross brought to fulfillment all that has been written, paying in full the redeeming price. This is no tomfoolery, nor cleverly invented story. Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. In Christ Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, a gift freely to you, given from the Lord God, who is full of compassion, mercy, and grace for you. Amen and amen.